If you have your Bibles, would you please open them to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, we are in a series through the Sermon on the Mount, which is in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And this is a sermon that Jesus preached. So it's what I would call the greatest sermon ever preached. And now I get the opportunity to try to explain the greatest sermon who ever preached. And I humbly try to do that with everything I have and call upon God to give me insight through this. But at the end of this sermon that Jesus preached, he says, listen, guys, he said, whoever hears these words and puts them into practice, and he is like a wise man whose life, whose house is built on a rock, where the storms of life come and the winds blew and they were able to withstand the storm. But whoever hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who builds his house in the sand where the storms come and his house falls. And so we name this series Rock Solid because we are hearing the words, right? Who has ears, let him hear. You're hearing the words of God, and we want to put them into practice. So our lives, when the storms of life come, how many of you know that storms of life come, right? We are able to withstand because we are listening and following what Jesus says. And so through this, we're learning all kinds of different things. We're learning about anger. We're learning about salt and light. We're learning about marriage. We're learning about lust. We're learning about oaths. We're learning about all these different things. But at the beginning, he shares what we call the Beatitudes, these blessings upon us. And so we as a church are memorizing the Beatitudes. How many are memorizing that? One person. Praise God. You get extra crowns in heaven, all these other guys. But we're going to say, it'll be up on the screen, the first five here that we've been memorizing. If you can, just say these. You can read them. It says this, blessed are though the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. All right, say it with me. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And now the memorization for this week is, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. All right, guys, get to it. I expect better results from me and you next week, right? So we are in chapter 6. Jesus talks about three when you do's. And it's these three expectations that he knows that we are going to do. He says, when you give, which we talked about last week, when you give, when you pray, which we're going to talk about today, and then when you fast, which we're going to talk about next week. He says, all right, when you do these things, and then he compares them. He says, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't be like hypocrites who do it, but I want you to have a right heart. I want you to have a right motive when you give, when you pray, and when you fast. And so he has this umbrella statement that deals with all three of these. And the umbrella statement is in Matthew 6, 1. It's right up here on the screen. It says this, beware of practicing your righteousnesses. So the praying, the giving, the fasting, beware when you do those things before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. I don't really like reward programs, but I like that one. Those who do it with the right heart, right motive, not to be seen by men, not to get the praise of men, but this right heart, beware of how you do it. And so he goes into these when you do's, when you give, when you pray, and when you fast. And so today we're going to talk about praying, our heart, having the right heart when it's praying, because there are many reasons why we pray. There are many different styles of prayer out there. You may be having intercessory prayer, where intercessory prayer is you're just going after the heart of God. You're interceding. You're going deeper into the heart of God. So you're praying for God to move. You may be praying for healing. You may be praying for salvation. You may be praying for some kind of deliverance. You may be praying for a need in your life. You may be praying for your job today. You may be praying, oh God, let this car just turn on. I need it to work today. You may be praying for the meal. Oh God, bless this meal and the hands that prepared it. Why only the hands? I don't understand that that idea, but just bless the hands. Don't go any further than the hands of the person who prepared it. And so it's, we just pray for a lot of different things, right? I would say probably the number one prayer is help, right? You know, we just pray for a lot of different things in our lives. And it's interesting, we're going to go to the Lord's Prayer, but it's also the Lord's Prayer in the Gospel of Luke. And in the Gospel of Luke, it says the disciples actually went to Jesus. And they asked him, teach us to pray. Because, listen, this is an incredible statement. And I know some of you have heard this before. Is this idea that they saw great things, right? They saw miracles. They saw blind eyes open, lame people walking. They saw the dead rise. They saw water turn to wine. They saw bread multiplied, fish multiplied. They saw all these different things. And they didn't go, hey, Jesus, give me the insight on that wine thing. You know, I would love that. Or how we do that? How do you open up blind eyes? Give me insight there. They didn't say that because they knew the power that happened was because Jesus often went alone and prayed, and the power of miracles and supernatural miracles and great things that happened was a result of Jesus' prayer to the Father. And so they didn't come and say, hey, teach me how to do that. They said, no. I see it's through prayer. And so they say, teach me how to pray, which is a prayer in and of itself, is it not? Teach me to pray? That's a prayer. And so that I think our greatest need is to pray. But how do we do it? How do we do it? Because a lot of times we don't really know what to say. Have you ever been there? Don't really know what to say. A lot of times we get distracted. We're starting to pray and we're like, oh, is that a Facebook notification? Or if you have kids, oh, is that the kid getting in the fridge again? You know? And sometimes we struggle with prayer because here's why. It's because sometimes we don't see results. Sometimes we struggle with prayer because we are praying and we're praying and we're praying and we're not seeing the results of our prayer. And it's sometimes we get to that place where, well, why am I even praying then? Why should I even pray? Most of you know that I've been dealing with chronic pain for about a year and a half. And it's nerve pain. And it's not fun. And I've been praying. I've been to 5 or 6 different doctors to talk to them and see what to do. And there's nothing. The last doctor I saw was this Thursday, and he just said, time. Just takes time. It's not what you really want to hear. But in those intense moments when you're praying, I've often prayed, please, please, please. And I've often prayed, why? You ever done that? And you pray and you wonder, and there's times where I lay flat on my face and just crying out to God. Other times I'm standing, other times I'm kneeling, other times I'm screaming. Other times I'm crying. Sometimes I really feel the presence of God. Other times I don't. But I know He's there. Whether I feel it or not, I know He's there. I know He hears. I know He cares. I know He loves me. And I was praying this week, okay, God, this is a good time, buddy. Talking about prayer, we're going to talk about answers to prayer. This is a good time. I could be healed this week, Jesus. And then Sunday morning, I would say prayer, and I prayed this week, and God moved, but I was still in some pain this morning. And so we struggle, don't we? And I know God's going to heal me. I just don't know when. I just know He is. And it's a learning process of learning to trust in Him and go deeper in Him. And it's, you know, people will say, well, this season God's doing some good things. And sometimes you just don't want to hear that. You know, but sometimes you do, but sometimes you don't. And so I know many of you have been praying for me, and you don't know what that means when you hear somebody's praying for you. It's so comforting. It's so comforting. And so thank you. Thank you so much for praying. And I know my chronic fails in comparison to a lot of your guys' needs. And that's why we have a prayer wall, so people can write those needs down and we can pray. Two or three gathered, we can pray and see God move. So, got a little sidetracked here, but that's okay. Teach me to pray, is what the disciples said. Teach us to pray. Teach me to pray, oh God. Am I doing it right? Am I saying the right things? Am I going in the right direction? Am I having the right posture? Am I doing, teach me to pray. And so that's where we're at in Matthew's gospel, Matthew 6, 5 through 15. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither your Father forgive you your trespasses. So a few things here, and then I want to get at the heart of what I want to say. And I got a lot to say, so hang on tight. Gonna be awesome. All right. So he says, when you pray, this assumption, because we all pray, no matter what. It doesn't matter if you're an atheist or not, we pray. When you get in hard times, I guarantee the atheist is gonna cry out to God. Or cry out to whoever he thinks is God. So when you pray, he says, don't be like the hypocrites, don't be like, and he's referring to the Pharisees. Because remember last week in the giving portion, where the Pharisees would come into the synagogue, they would basically blow a trumpet, like ringing the bell and gathering people around them so they could give alms to the poor. Remember when I talked about that? Those same Pharisees would then, as they were giving alms to the poor, would make these loud prayers so everyone can hear. So when everyone can see, everyone can notice, wow, that guy, boy, he is, oh my gosh, did you hear that prayer? Hey, Johnny, did you hear that prayer? Yeah, that was an amazing prayer. There's your reward. Jesus said, that's your reward. If you're going to do it to be seen and be heard by men, that's your reward. And so he's saying, don't be like that. Don't be like that. That he says, but when you pray, here's what you need to do, is you need to find a quiet place. Go into your closet. He says closet. Go into this quiet place and not be heard by men, but just be heard by God. I just even think about that. I'm going to go and be I am talking to God. I'm going to be heard by God. And this is so important for us as believers, is to have a quiet time with God. And I know some people have a place in the room. Some people actually go into their closet. When Jesus said go in the closet, and so you go into your closet and you're like moving, things around, and you're like, man, there are some smelly shoes in here. And so you're in your closet, and that's great. But find a place in your house, a chair, a place, no distractions, leave the phones away, and just be there with God. and cry out to God and say, oh God, I am with you. And you need to do this on a daily basis, if not a multiple times a day, but on a daily basis, a spiritual routine. Remember, I talk about spiritual habits. Spiritual habits are hard to start and easy to break. Bad habits are easy to start and hard to break. A spiritual habit of praying. Develop that spiritual habit. Go to a quiet place and do that. And then he talks about the Gentiles, where the Gentiles pray and they heap up empty phrases with many words, hoping to be heard. And this is what I think it means for us today, because I think going into, like the Pharisees, going aloud into public places and pray real loud so people could see us, I don't think that's really a big problem for us today to do that. But this idea of empty phrases and words, there are many people when they pray, they go through these memorized words, right? Memorized phrases. Maybe they were taught in Sunday school or a religious organization, just say this prayer, repeat this prayer, and you just kind of, it's this rehearsed prayer, it's this repeated prayer that they have done, these routine prayers. He says, don't do that. And other times, we pray and we use words and we say words and we do things like, because we're not really knowing what to say, like praying in the King James language. What's up with that? I mean, I'm talking to my friend Johnny. Hey, Johnny, how are you? Hey, buddy, how are you? And say, hey, let's pray. Oh, thou art great, and thou shalt do thou great thing. Oh, thy heavenly thou thing, you know. And Johnny, dude, where does that come from? Well, that's how I pray, you know. He's like, well, that's not you, you know. That's not your words. That's not you prayed the words that are you. There's no fancy language that you need to pray. Pray the words that God has given you, that God has given you, and how you talk. And so that's how we pray. And I think that's what he's referring to. Don't go through these rehearsed prayers and these fancy words. Pray from your heart. Pray from your heart. God wants to hear your heart. Now listen, so I'm saying that, here's the thing. I'm saying this, and Jesus is saying this, don't go through empty phrases, right? Don't go through those empty phrases. But then he gives us a model of prayer. And it is a model. The Lord's Prayer is a model for us. You do not have to pray the Lord's Prayer every time you pray. It's a model for us. And what happens is, what a lot of people do is they use this model that Jesus has given us, and it becomes the empty phrase words. It becomes this rehearsed words. Have you ever played on a sports team, especially a sports team in the South? They're playing football, right? And they're in the locker room, and they're about ready to go out. What does the coach do? Everybody bow. And they go through the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, and the whole team prays it. They don't even know what they're saying. The whole team's praying it. And they're sitting there praying, amen. And then the coach goes, now let's go kick there, you know. And so it's just this rehearsed prayer sometimes. And so I would encourage you, not even with the Lord's Prayer, don't let it become this thing that you just do and you're not even thinking about it. So he said, so it's a model for us. And so let's go through it phrase by phrase real quick. And I'm going to do it really quick, and then I'm going to come back and focus on just one of the phrases. First one, he says, Our Father. Now, this statement, Our Father, is a huge statement because he's talking to Jews. And the Jews never prayed Father. They said Yahweh. And they whispered it. Sometimes they'd even say it. They wouldn't say it, but Jesus comes along and says, Father, Our Father. And then he goes on to say, Hallowed be your name. Jesus doesn't go away from the reference of God. He says, although he is Father, he is still holy. Awesome, wondrous, glorious, majestic, unbelievable. The name of God. Hallowed be your name. He recognizes him as Father and as God as one. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The greatest priority of prayer is the purpose of God's kingdom and his will be done on earth. Let me say that again. The purpose of prayer is that the purpose of God, his kingdom, and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus prayed while he was in the garden before he was going to the cross. He says, "Your will be done." When you're praying and longing for healing, your will be done. When you're praying for financial blessing in your life, your will be done. When you're praying for a job, your will be done. You say, "Well, Dane, how do I know what God's will is? How do I pray the will of God?" This is when we go to Scripture. You pray Scripture. You pray what God. You're praying what God said to God. And so part of God's will is this, right? Is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Is that not part of God's will? That the gospel be preached to all nations, right? So if that is God's will, then we need to pray that way. Oh God, may the gospel, may your good news, may it go to my neighbors. May it go to my workplace. May it go to my city. May it go to my state. May it go to the nations, all nations, so that everyone may hear that the Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. God, may that happen. And God, may you use me. May you use me to fulfill that will. That is your will, oh God, that the gospel go forth. And may I be used however you want to do that. Wherever it is, may I be used by you, oh God, to fulfill your will. Your kingdom come, your will be done, that the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, go to all the nations, which is the most important prayer we need to pray. That Jesus, that people will receive Jesus in their life, because people are dying and going to hell. And so we need to pray, oh God, that they will receive Jesus Christ. And may you use me. You want to pray God's kingdom come, his will be done, start praying that prayer. Other prayers we pray is prayers for healing, right? Praying Scripture for healing. My mom, she's the most amazing mom in the world. And she has given me 3 pages worth. That's what moms do. 3 pages worth. Oh, actually, 4 pages. 4 pages worth of scriptures on healing. And so I take this out every day, and I begin to pray them. God, this is what your word says here. Isaiah 58:8. Your light shall break forth in the morning. Your healing shall come, shall spring forth speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Lord, that's what you said. May your healing spring forth. May your glory go forth. May I pray that. And there's 4 pages worth. 4 pages. So if you want to pray the will of God, begin to pray the word of God. Next, give us this day our daily bread. This is a prayer for our daily needs. Today, Lord, meet my needs. A lot of times we worry about tomorrow, right? But today, he says, pray for today. Today, meet my daily needs. We obviously, we're praying for our future. Obviously, we're praying for the election. Obviously, we're praying for our governor and state and senators and congressmen and women. We're all, obviously, but today, God, would you meet the needs today? May your glory be done today. Next, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. I think this statement is huge. In fact, at the conclusion of the prayer, Jesus gives commentary to the prayer, and he gives commentary on this prayer right here. Because he says in verses 14 through 15, he says this, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So the only commentary that Jesus gives on the prayer is about this forgiveness part. Because forgiveness is a huge part of our prayer life. If you are having unforgiveness in your heart, bitterness towards somebody, if you have not resolved that, this says that if you are not willing to forgive somebody their trespasses against you, God will not forgive you. I don't know about you, but that's pretty big. That's pretty a big statement, right? Yet a lot of us hold bitterness, unforgiveness in our hearts and in our lives. We are holding this in our lives. And we're wondering, why hasn't God answered my prayer? Well, maybe it's because you're holding this grudge and this bitterness and anger and hatred towards somebody. In fact, we just took communion. And Paul refers to that if to search your heart before you take communion, to search your heart, to search and know me. And if you have something going on in your life, you need to resolve, because if you don't, there are many who are tired, many who are sick, and many who have died. So this is a huge, huge part of the prayer, is it not? Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are also as we've forgiven our debtors. This is huge, and Jesus is saying, if you're holding grudges in your heart, if you're having issues with people, you need to get that right, or God is not going to forgive you. Listen, I'm just the mailman. I didn't write the letter. I'm just delivering it. But this is a huge, huge statement that we need to search our hearts and say, oh God, search me and know me. If there's anything within me, if I'm holding a grudge against my husband, if I'm holding a grudge against my wife, an ex-business partner or a person that in the church or a neighbor or something, oh Lord, forgive me of that and let me go and seek forgiveness from them. We talked about this a few weeks ago in our holding anger in our hearts. Last, he says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The word temptation here means trial. It means a trial. Lord, lead us not into a trial. We are asking God, who permits trials, who permits temptations in our life, but we're praying, oh God, Lord, lead me not into a trial or a temptation that I cannot bear. Again, Jesus said in the garden, Lord, take this trial, take this cup from me. But he surrendered to the will of God. Not my will, but your will be done. So it's right to pray, Lord, lead me not down this trial. I pray that. Lord, this trial is too much for me to bear. Lead me not down this trial. And in that trial, don't allow the devil to steal my joy. Don't allow the devil to steal your presence from me. Don't allow the devil to rob me of your love for me, but deliver us from evil. Deliver me from that. As I go through this trial, deliver me from this evil. So, I know I covered this real quick. We could actually have a sermon on each of these phrases, but I want to go back to the first one. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That place of intimacy with the Father. When I come to God as Father, he is my Father. He cares for me. He is dad and I'm his child. He provides for me. He gives me wisdom. He gives me insight. He takes care of my every need. He is my Father. Others say, he is my dad. He is my papa. That's all cool. He is Father. I think of my kids, me as a dad, of what I would do for them. I would do anything for them. I would do anything for them. And they have full access to me. Especially, you know, when they were kids. I mean, they didn't care. They just run up and grab hold of you, right? Now I wish as teenagers, hey, come on in. There's this, during the week, we have this sign as you come into the church, please check in at the office. And we do that for a number of different reasons, because sometimes we don't know who's coming in the door. We do that for a number of reasons. Plus, you know, one of the pastors may be in study or counseling or doing a number of different things. So we ask that you check in at the office, right, with Debbie. Debbie is our security guard. You know. She say yay or nay. But my kids can pass right by that sign. They don't have to check in with Debbie. No offense to you, Debbie. They have full access. And they often bring their dog, Bucky. They have full access. Why? Because they're my kids and I'm their dad. We have full access to God. Full access to God because of the grace we receive, the salvation we receive. We have full access to him. But he is holy. Hallowed be your name. He is a holy, awesome, mighty King. There is a reverence for God that I think we have forgotten, especially the church in America. There is a holiness of God that I think we have forgotten. There is a respect for God that I think we forget to give. I mean, think about who we are talking to. Yes, He is Father, but He is God. He's God. And there should be a reverence. There should be praise to God. A lot of times we come to God, gimme, 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 gimme. And we don't stop to say, hallowed be your name. Yes, we have full access into the throne room of grace, but it's still a throne room. It's a throne room. And we're coming to the King of all kings. Come to Him as a child, but worship Him as a king. Hallowed be His name. I would encourage you, I would strongly encourage you in your prayer time to remember that. Who you're talking to. That you just stop for just a few moments with adoration and praise to God. You're talking to the Creator of the universe. You're talking to God. Let us have a reverence for Him. Holy, hallowed be the name of God. I want to close with this prayer. I want to pray for together. I want to ask, come on up, pray together. And it's an acrostic called ACTS. Some of you may have heard this acrostic. A-C-T-S, A-C-T-S. A stands for adoration, and it's built upon the Lord's Prayer. Adoration, praise, hallowed be your name. So when you pray, I'm gonna adore God. Adoration to God, praise to God. Next is C, confession. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lord, search me and know me. Hear my heart, hear my cry. I confess my sins to you. Next is T, thanksgiving. Thank you for delivering us from temptation. Thank you for delivering us from evil. Thank you for setting us free. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for who you are. Then last is S, supplication. It's a fancy word for give us this day our daily bread. Lord, I come to you. I ask that you would move in my life. I ask that you would meet this need. So ACTS, I want to encourage you as you pray this week is to do this, is to adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. And so we're gonna close out our time in prayer here this morning. We're gonna go through this acrostic. And I'm gonna lead us in a prayer, but then I'm gonna pause for just a few seconds and that you begin to pray yourself in these things. You down with it? Cool? You all right? Ready to come into the throne room of God? The throne room of God. Our Father, hallowed be your name. Lord, we praise you for who you are. Praise you for your glory. We praise you for your majesty. We praise you for your holiness. We praise you for your kindness, for your faithfulness. You are God. You are the Lord of all lords. You are the King of all kings. And we worship you. We honor you. We lift you on high. So right now, would you just begin to pray adoration and praise to God. Thank you. Next is confession. Father, we come to you and we confess our sins to you. Forgive us of my sin. Forgive us of my trespasses. Lord, if I'm holding any bitterness in my heart, if any of us are holding any bitterness in our heart to any person, Lord, we ask for forgiveness of that as well. We ask that you give us the strength and courage to go to them today and forgive them. Forgive us of our sins, Lord. So right now, just begin to confess to God. You don't need a mediator. Jesus is our mediator. Begin to confess. Now for Thanksgiving, Father, we thank you. We thank you that you delivered us from evil. We thank you that Satan has no hold on us any longer. We thank you that the Holy Spirit lives within us. We thank you that we could come to you in our trials and our struggles, and that you give us strength. As we sang earlier, our strongholds are broken, and so God, we thank you for that. We thank you that you never leave us. We thank you that you never forsake us. We thank you that you sent your Son to the cross for our sins. And we thank you for all the blessings we have. So right now, would you just begin to thank God? Now, Father, we come to you with our request, and we ask that you give us this day our daily bread. Provide for our health, our security, our relationships, our needs today. You are in control. We trust you by faith today. We rely on you today to meet each and every need of ours. So right now, would you just begin to ask God for him to move in your life today. And would you stand with me, please? God, we thank you for these prayers that have been pray to you, and we again ask, not our will, but your will be done in our lives. For your kingdom come, your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 I want to encourage you this week to use this acrostic ACTS as you pray to God. God bless you. Have a great week, everyone.